Yeah, around about the beginning of the year, I noticed I had a particular issue. Didn't know where it came from, didn't know how to deal with it, but I knew it was there and just kept walking and kept walking, trying my best. So around about August, I kind of felt God was going to deal with me. And not the way you'd say to a kid, I'll deal with you, but deal with me in a good way. So when I kind of get to that place, I pray, get my Bible and spend time with God and see what's going to happen. And how God kind of dealt with me was with grace. I sat there in that place and I just felt flooded with grace. And instantly, that issue was gone. And I knew that I'd got healing on it. So I sat there and I kind of started to ask God a series of questions. And God gave me a series of answers straight away. And when I say answers, you know, I didn't hear a voice in my head. That's never happened to me. I had the Bible there beside me. I used that for reference. So what I want to do is just kind of share that conversation that I had. Yeah. I sat there and I was wondering about grace. Like, Lord, what's the story with grace? How does it work? You know, why am I feeling this grace now? And I wasn't feeling it previously. How does that happen? And I thought, you know, does he give grace? And then sometimes maybe take it back. Like, you know, here's what you could have. And I thought, if that's true, if God does that, well, then he's no different than us. The way, you know, you might give a kid an ice cream and the kid kind of kicks off and you say, all right, give me that back. If that's what God does, that's not a very fair representation of God. And I thought, you know, Lord, could it be me? Is there something that we as human beings could possibly do that might restrict or cut off the flow of grace into our life? So this is where I felt God was kind of bringing me. You know, I need to prove this biblically. I can't just kind of throw that out. Is that even true? So Matthew, when Jesus speaks about forgiveness, you can be forgiven, but there's an act of the will that if you're forgiven, right, you're walking with God, and you can now do something that can cut off forgiveness. And that act of the will is refusing to give forgiveness. Grace, in the same way, works along the same lines, right? In the sense, not that you have to, in order to receive grace, you got to pass it on. But there's something we can do as human beings, that it's an act of our will that God can say. It's not that God doesn't want to give it, but it's like a spiritual barrier comes down. God wants to give it. We have committed some act in our will. So I thought, all right, this kind of intrigued me. You know, what might that be? You know, I want to know, not for the sake of standing up here speaking about it. I didn't know this was going to happen. But for my walk with God, I need to know what them things might be that might restrict grace. So Galatians 2:21, Paul says, I will do nothing to nullify the grace of God, right? What that means, the word nullify is kind of close to the word divide, to make void. Think of a scratch card, right? You scratch it and it reveals 350s, so you have it, right? But in the bottom right-hand corner, there's a small bit that says void if removed. Now, if you go and scratch that, you've lost it. Do you get me? You've had it, but you've done something. You've committed some act, so you've lost it. If that happened, you're not even going to go to it to a news agent and try and blag your way to say, you know, you're not going to do it because you know you've done something. It's the same with grace. So Paul says, I won't do anything that will nullify the grace of God. But where God was dealing with me and the issue that I had from the beginning of the year, Greg, can you throw that scripture on the board? Hebrews 12:15. Says, see to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, meaning that it is actually possible. You can fail to obtain grace, right? It's biblical. See to it that no root of bitterness springs up, right? And that's what had happened to me. A root of bitterness I didn't even know was there. Here's the thing with bitterness, right? I used to be on drugs, and I spoke about it in a testimony here a while ago. If I was to go back using any day soon, people are going to know. Why? Because addiction is surface, right? Anger is surface. The Bible teaches that bitterness is a root, meaning it runs much more deeply. It can infect. It can do a lot more damage, right? There's this online medical journal called Psychology Today, and they've done a survey in America, and they said that 62% of Americans suffer. Now, I don't know how to prove this, but 62% of Americans suffer with bitterness, right? Really, really serious. And what they're trying to do, you know, post-traumatic stress disorder? Well, they're trying to get this recognized, this bitterness recognized, so it would be called post-traumatic embitterment disorder, right? So, you know, you're not feeling well or whatever, you go to your doctor, you tell him your symptoms, and he says, yeah, that sounds like bitterness. And probably just prescribes you pills, Prozac, Valium, whatever it is. I was lucky, you know. We have a God who, bitterness is mentioned in the Bible. we have a God who is able to deal with such things, you know? So where does bitterness come from? What I found in my own walk, just like a tiny, tiny seed of resentment grew to a root of bitterness, you know? It's so dangerous. And how you kind of know, you know, you're saved, you're a Christian, you're going to heaven, praise God, but you're just walking, you just find something's not right. Whether it's your joy is gone, or maybe you've no hunger for church, you can take it or leave it, your peace is gone, you just know that something isn't right. The scripture that I just want to finish up on, right, and this is a very good one on how to prevent it, and it's like spiritually checking yourself. Proverbs 27:23. It says, know well the condition of your flocks and attend to your herds, right? If there was a farmer in the room, they would know exactly what that means. A farmer will know well the condition of his flock. He will know that if there's an animal that's not well or that's sick, he needs to separate that animal straight away so it doesn't affect the rest of the flock. The Bible's a spiritual book. The same is true to us spiritually. If there is one thing that's not well, we need to separate it. We need to get it out of there straight away. We need to deal with it because it will infect spiritual, physically, it will. You know, just thank God that Philippians 4:6 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything let your requests be made known unto God. Everything means everything. It means your bitterness, your anger, your good things, your bad things, whatever they are. As Christians, you know, we have God to deal with this. Thank God we don't have to go to a doctor. We don't have to prescribe pills. Amen? Amen. Amen.
Well done. Amen. Well done, Mark. Another attempt of man to heal man is all that stuff, isn't it? Good morning. My name is Noel, and I'm the leader of Liberty Church. And it's great to see everybody here. You're very welcome this morning. In fact, I would say that you're in church on a great morning this morning. So far, we had some great worship, great word from Mark. And we're going to talk a bit about vision this morning and how Liberty is going to accomplish their vision and what's our part in that vision, corporately, singularly, and community-wise, family-wise, and location-wise. I told you before about an experience I had with God. It must have been 2 or 3 years ago now. But I was walking up there just to get my car up at the, when you come out of here, straight ahead of you, there's a little park. And it was autumn time, it was around this time of the year. It was about 6 o'clock in the day. I love autumn. I love about 6 o'clock in the day. And it was just spot on time for me. And I walked up and I was crunching the leaves as I was walking under my feet. And I just said this sentence to the Lord. I said, you know what, Lord, I love this time of the year. And God spoke to me in an instant. Now, I didn't hear an audible voice, but I know when God speaks to me. It's louder than audible. And he says to me, Noel, you're going to enter into a dark winter season. But you're going to enjoy new, you're going to see new things in the spring season, and you're going to enjoy the fruits of them in a summer season. So Noel being Noel, I go straight in my mind and in my heart to the summer season. Praise the Lord, we're going to see people saved, we're going to see people come to the Lord, families, communities, bang, bang, bang. I'm just in that place loving it, but I entered into a dark place, and God brought me in there. And one of the main reasons is, I didn't know it was there, but it was there, like Mark said, something that was going to hinder me in the spring season and in the especially in the summer season. And it was a hard experience. Up to that time, I'm 23 years a Christian, but for 20 years, people used to say, I read books. As a leader, they say, if you haven't felt like giving up, you haven't really led. I used to read and hear these things at conferences and go, I honestly would tell you, I've gone through the mill, but I've never felt like giving up. And up to that point, I'll tell you why. Where do you go? This was my thinking. Where will I go after Jesus? Where do you go after meeting the King of the Universe? Come on, like if you've served the highest of the highest name, where do you go? And that was my keeping power. Of course I've got discouraged. Of course I've been disappointed. Of course I've been let down. But that's where I always landed. Where do you go after Jesus? Peter said it to him, Lord, where do we go? He has the words of life. What do I do after that? Serve man, serve man's purposes, and all this. But during that dark time, I kid you not, I felt like giving up every day. And not just like giving up, but throwing in the towel. And there's only certain ways leaders can throw in the towel. And believe me, you can stop coming to church if you get upset here. But that's not what's on my life. You can go, Mary didn't say my hair was lovely. And you can take it. And when I was sitting in your place, I could take it willy-nilly. But when God puts you into position, you don't do things. I can't do things willy-nilly. There's a higher responsibility on you. And so the way people get out of this stuff is to do daft things. Commit adultery. Rob the money. Hurt someone badly. And that's ministry over. That's ministry for you over. For me over. And I want to tell you, for 2 years, that was constant. All the pressure can finish. You know what you can do to finish that. And it was tough. But by the grace of God, I didn't, and I am here. I believe we've entered into our spring season. I didn't know all this. I came back. I was like, I'm happy enough to pastor a little church. And that's all this is a little church. Because there's 1.6 million people out there. And I could be happy to do that, but during that season, God doesn't just take something out of you, but God puts something into you. He's not a taker, he's a giver. And if he's going to take something, if he's going to take bitterness, he's going to give you wholeness. If he's going to take madness, he's going to give you peace. Like, people go into more places of bitterness and needing all types of therapy, trying to hold on to the stuff that's killing them in the first place. And so anyway, I was away, and God spoke to my heart, and he says, no. Now, God, I know God exaggerates. It's in the Bible. When God exaggerates to get a point to you. Jesus exaggerated his language in times. He goes, truly, truly. My Lord, I heard you the first time. No, he's exaggerating the point so that you go, he's saying, are you listening to me? I'm not just saying it once. And I was in America. I was sitting in this little chapel on my own. Someone said it was the watch of the Lord. I thought it was a big prayer meeting. I get up at 5 a.m. and I go to this prayer meeting. I goes into this little chapel. There's a little Chinese girl asleep on the chair and me. It was 800 at the meeting the night before. And I'm like, where's everybody? So I'm taking in my environment. There's worship coming through. There's it was a beautiful little setting. Up on a mountain, looking over mountains And I get it, the watch of the Lord. Oh, it means the watch of the Lord. I have to watch for the Lord. I have to wait on God. Oh, I get it. And I just started taking in my environment. God again spoke to me. And he said in his exaggerated point to get my attention, Noah, liberty is not going to grow by one more person as long as you're carrying only what you're carrying now in God, meaning what he's called me to do. I was like, what's that even mean, Lord? And he says, read the book of Acts. And I read the book of Acts, that setting, wrote notes on the book of Acts. I come back to Dublin. I'm sitting in my bedroom and I read in the book of Acts. It says that the disciples met a woman at the river. God spoke to me and says, go to the river. I'm like, go to the river. I was up in the bedroom. I said, Sharon, see you later. Going to the river. Just ran out. See you later, Sharon. Sharon didn't know where I was going. I drove down I decided to park up at Thomas Street at where the old city gates were, the old city gates of the city that were built over 1,000 years ago. So I parked my car up at Thomas Street and I walked down because I thought I was going to meet somebody and I was going to tell them about Jesus. I thought, this is a great adventure. I'm just going to go and go with the flow and see what happens. And I walked down to the Liffey. Nobody there. I walked on the circle of the block again. Nobody there. And I'm standing up where I wasn't. My car was across the road. I'm standing at the city gates. And I'm saying, Lord, I don't get this. And louder than audible, God says, do you want this city? Now, I'm telling you, I'm just little Noel from Dolphin's Barn. But I want to tell you, there's a big God that lives in me. And he has a big heart and a big vision for our city. And the Lord started to speak to me, Noel, take the city, you'll take a nation. And I didn't know what to do. What am I supposed to do? I'd never read this anywhere. So I stretched out my arms and I said these words, Dublin, you're not an orphan anymore. That God loves you. And that's my granddaughter. And from that moment on, something triggered off in my heart and my spirit that was much bigger than what we see. It's much bigger. Someone says, like Rob always says, no, if I try to write this down, I can't get it out because I can't communicate what's on the inside. But I want to tell you that God wants to win a city. He said to Abraham, I've never read things about city in the Bible. I'm just reading stuff and all of a sudden cities are everywhere. He says to Abraham, I'm preparing a city for you, Abraham. Shiny Mac. I was like he was speaking to me. He says to the disciples, if you're faithful with little, I will give you much to do. So how are we going to do this? See, it's not just me, because me and you are we. And what God is pouring on me is on you. And the mandate that's on our lives, is on my life, is now becomes the mandate on our lives. And believe me, I want you this morning to rejoice in that. And to celebrate that God, as Mark said, that God will trust us with precious things, people's lives, what he gave his son for in this. And how are we going to do this? So we've come up with what we feel is right in God. We could have, we could get a building for 1,000 people in this place, in this one area. And God gives growth to whatever growth this location will grow to. But we're not only in this location, we're in Bray location. And we're now in Clondalkin location. And there's more locations to come after this. And the plan is to surround this city with Liberty Tribe. I'm not responsible for St. Mark's tribe or anyone else's tribe. I'm responsible for this tribe and what God has given me and the people that God has given me to work with. So our plan is to surround this city with locations that will be called Liberty Bray, Liberty Clondalkin, Liberty City, Liberty... I don't want to mention any names because people always ring me. I heard you're planting a church in that area. I said one time, Liberty is going to plant rehabs. I had 4 rehabs onto me that week. Like, I didn't even know you listened to our podcasts. And you weren't all Christian either. But there is more to come. I reckon there's 7 in me. The national leader of our movement reckons there's 10 in me. And I think Peter reckons there's about 50 in us. Because we breed, vision breeds, that you're going to come one day. You know where my passion is for? I've gone through the ranks, I've served, I've been faithful, and God says one day there's the person, and that you'll be the one that'll be planting it somewhere else. And if I don't like you, you're going to somewhere out. So at the beginning of the year, God says a scripture. You can put that first slide up. Anyone remember the scripture for this year? Isaiah 54. Enlarge the tent pegs, the place of your tents. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. For you will spread out to the right and to the left. Your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in desolate cities. That God spoke to us at the beginning of the year. And he says, you're going to expand. That things are going to start happening. And at the beginning of the year, there was things that we were doing. And then there was things that just start as spring up over this last year. And I'll just put up the next slide. I just have some of them. And I hope, like for instance, this building here is a house in Clondalkin that we've been given by this Dublin City Council. In that black area, well, it's not a black area now. They were shutters on a little shop. And now that's a vibrant little cafe for children. It's a children's cafe that are feeding and engaging with kids every morning for the last month since we opened it. Upstairs there's a 3-story building, and there's going to be where we're starting. Celebrate Recovery is starting in it. There's a women's outreach starting in the place. Our link group meets there. There's a prayer meeting every Monday morning there now. Expansion, that wasn't on the cards. Engaging with people. Celebrate Recovery is starting in Bray. It's starting in Clondalkin, and it started in here in the city. Praise the Lord, Phil Swan. And then there's like notebooks. Who knows notebooks? You know Starbucks? Well, this is notebooks. Teen Challenge have come, and we've had an engagement with Teen Challenge, and they've asked to partner with us in our Bray location to have notebooks out on the street, which is there every Wednesday, and to engage with people on the street. Soon enough, that Starbucks, notebooks, wherever books, will be going up into the estate. And then look at this. That's the flag of Lesotho. There's 21 people. Many, Trish? 25 people going out to Lesotho this year. We're already in Belarus. There's a team going in December, and there's a team going in April, and then there's another team going to Lesotho to build up an orphanage in there. This is from the beginning of the year. Next slide. Oh, life groups. Anyone, who's in the life group? Put your hand up really quickly. Guys, look around and ask these people where a life group is. They're connection groups, they're pastoral care groups, they're growth groups, disciple groups. Absolutely brilliant. And then there's Life Cafe, which is our youth outreach. There's one in Dolphins Barn. There's one in Drimina. There's one going to be in Clondalkin. And then I put a picture of Dolphins Barn Flats. That's where I was found in the manger with Jesus. And Trevor and the team are starting a new kids club in Dolphins Barn in January. And that is amazing. And then there's other stuff that I was thinking about. Expansion this year. You know, our link groups have the most people going to them ever this last year. We have Haven, which Trish is leading. We have Bob Men's Group. We have Impact Men's Group this year. Kids Club in Bray starting in January. Recovery groups in Bray and City and Clondalkin. The Pensioners Group. Did I get that wrong again, Trish? Senior citizens. Senior citizens group that Trish started. Well, like doing Zumba. Well was meeting every 3 weeks. Man, 40 plus women are going to well every time. And prison visits. I'm getting more calls from the prison. Can we go up and see people in the prisons? So much so, I have a letter that's going into the governor tomorrow to ask, can I raise up a pastoral team for prisons in our church? And I'm believing, because I met him in Bray, the governor in Bray, with Jay and with Paul Matton. And we went up to the governor. He's sitting having a McDonald's. The governor of Mountjoy, sitting there. He's seen these cats walking towards him and he's looking for the exit. 2 ex-prisoners that he just let out in the last year, going up to say thank you to him. Thank you. The prisoner going up to the governor to bless him and to say thank you to him. And at the end of the night, he comes over and shakes my hand. And he says, Pastor, keep doing what you're doing. Keep. So there's a letter. Pray for it tomorrow. It's going to land on his desk so that we can send you guys in when I get or we get invitations to go in, etc., etc., etc. Am I missing that? Shout at me. What about the person? Like other stuff, engaging with people, knocking at doors every week, neighborhood watch. Sheila and Trish, no, Sheila and Bridget and Breda, Sheila. We haven't got a Bridget yet. And Pauline, knocking at doors. A man says to Breda, I'm not into religion. She says, neither are we. Knocking at doors. What about the girl that went, when someone died recently in our city, the girl over the church went in, asked the parents, could she go in to pray? And she started calling them back from the dead. He didn't come back from the dead, and I'll tell you why. His mom had a vision, told this girl, out of our church. She can tell you when it's her time. A man said, people are going to think I'm mad. I had a vision. She can correct me if I'm wrong looking this. She said, I had a picture, a vision of my son going to a light or something. And there was someone calling him to come back. Someone called him to come back. And he looked back. And he looked back to who he was going to. Because he'd only led him to the Lord 3 weeks prior to that. And it was like, he was like, Addy, I was there, I'm going home. Etc., 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 etc. So how are we going to do all this? How are we going to play this out? We have got before God for 9 months. I said this last January, that our church is changing. That the way we're doing things, that my role is going to change. My role has changed, but my goal is the same. My role has changed, but my goal is the same. People think I was going somewhere. I'm going nowhere. I'm winning the city. And you're going to win the city with us. And we put together a structure that we believe that will not only reach a city, but that will bring people into a place of expanding in leadership, expanding in training, expanding in growth, expanding in pastoral care, all types of things. And for the next couple of minutes, Rob is going to come and tell us what that looks like.
Okay. So some of you will have heard or seen this structure thing before. Any of our leaders should have heard it before, ministry development team and stuff like that. If Greg or those guys could put it up on the screen there. We have one of these for everyone to take away. As you're leaving, the ushers will give you one. Basically, it's just the top part of this is on the screen here, and the bottom here explains what everything is. But I just want to run through it. The point of this structure isn't just for structure's sake. It's not just about being organized or about having control or about knowing that sort of stuff. It's really about, we feel that this is the structure that the Lord's given us that's going to enable us to reach the city and beyond. And so I'll just run through each kind of role here and let you know what it's all about. But after, if you're still unclear, come and talk to me, come and talk to Noel, Peter, to any of the other elders, to Sharon, Louise, or Eddie, and they'll be able to explain every bit of this on it to you. So what we've done is, like Noel says, we're going to be one church in many locations. What we've done is we've split our roles into what we're calling central kind of roles. And what we're calling local roles. So local roles serve just one congregation, one location. So we'll have local roles in Bray and Clondalkin, in the city here and beyond. But the central roles then operate independent of any one of them local churches and oversee kind of all the stuff that's going on. They work alongside all the locations that we're going to have. So the first one, I suppose, the most obvious one to look at is the what we're calling the network leadership team. So that's anyone who's up there in green. So the guys up the top of the chart there. So the first one on that chart is the senior pastor, which is obviously Noel. Noel's role, as he's doing this morning, is to set vision and direction for the church here. And we also recognize that Noel has a gift and an anointing on him to plant churches in new locations. So that's his job. It's going to be setting vision and direction, going out, pioneering new church plants, getting stuff up and going and passing it on to other people. He'll also be developing and mentoring all the leaders that we raise up within Liberty. He'll be preaching regularly and present regularly at all our churches. Some of the fears that people have when they see Noel kind of not in one individual church here is Noel going anywhere? No, he's not. Noel will be here certainly all the time. He'll still be preaching, he'll still be doing vision, he'll still be doing all that sort of stuff. But what we've done is we've released him from a lot of the day-to-day things so that he can do what he's called and God to do, which is to go and plant churches and begin to reach this city. So that's Noel, the senior pastor who's there. Directly below Noel, we have the executive pastor and his executive team. And the executive pastor's role is to basically to ensure that the vision of the senior pastor happens. So that's his role. He takes on the vision of the senior pastor and he makes sure that happens across all churches that we plant. Whether that's two locations now, three next year, four the year after, five after that, that he makes sure that the vision is rolled out throughout every church location. And working alongside him there, he has that executive team. And that team is a group of people who have the relevant skills and expertise to make that happen. So they may be business people, they may be people with expertise in accounting or financing, there may be people with kind of spiritual expertise, but basically that team is going to be people who can make this stuff happen, who can take the vision and turn it into tangible ways of actually making it happen. So that's the network leadership team. And like I said, they exist independent of any one location, but they serve all the locations. So are we clear on that, sorry? Kind of. That was a bit of a muted response there. Aside from them, then we have what we call the church core team. So these are kind of locally based people, so represented by each of the churches up here on the screens. And you see to the right, there's a little plus and an arrow representing that these churches are going to be replicated across the board and across the city. And basically, each individual church within our network is going to have the same leadership structure. So there'll be a local church pastor whose role is... sorry, give me one second here. The local church pastor, he works directly under the authority of the executive pastor, and his role is to look after the local church, to provide for its care and its discipleship, to lead the church in reaching out to the community. And he has working alongside him a group of local elders who, again, oversee all the stuff that happens in the church, look after ministries, look after people, pray for the sick, all the stuff that the Bible says that elders should do. And so they're responsible in one individual church. Working alongside them, we have the church core team, which you're all familiar with. We have our ministry leaders and we have our ministry teams. And they do the basic work of the church. They do the stuff that that makes the difference. They're the people who are reaching out. They're the people who are making ministry happen across the city. So they're individual church locations all going forward. Then what we have, and this is probably what will be less familiar to you, is a group of people we're calling centrally based personnel. Okay, so they're all the guys in blue here. And so these are new kind of roles that we've come up with and that we feel are really going to be key to us doing what it is that the Lord's called us to do. And they exist, as I say, independent of any one church, but work alongside all of the churches that we have. And so if I work down through them, we have the first one there, the first one on my list here is our directors of departments. So over the last couple of weeks, you'll have seen... A couple of weeks ago, we had Annette McFarland. We installed her as the director of our theological department. A few weeks before that, we had Becky Kenny was installed as director of our children's department. And what we want to do is put people over the key ministries in Liberty that make church happen, right? So all the kind of things that you would need if you wanted to plant a new location. So you need to make worship happen, kids work happen, youth work, pastoral care, discipleship, all that sort of stuff, preaching and teaching. And what we're doing is we're putting a person whose responsibility is to make sure that they happen across every location. So Becky's responsibility as director of the children's department is to make sure that our children's work happens in the city, happens in Clondalkin, happens in Bray, happens everywhere else that we decide to plant. The same with Annette. McFarland's role in the theological thing is to make sure that we're taught in the city, we're taught in Bray, we're taught everywhere else. And so the real benefit of this and the beauty of this is that when we go to plant a new location and we have all these roles in place, then when we put a local pastor in or Noel goes in, he has every resource to come alongside him. So say when we go into Clondalkin now, we'll have someone who's looking after kids' work, someone who can make worship happen, someone who can make our pastoral care happen, someone who can make our discipleship happen. And then the local pastor's role then is just to be able to go and reach the community. Typically what happens when somebody goes to go and plant a church is that for the first couple of years they end up multitasking and doing everything. So a young church pastor is going out and he wants to go and reach the city, but his time is taken up looking after his finances. His time is taken up. He's the kids leader. He's the worship leader. He's the preacher. He's everything. He or she is everything for that time being. We want to avoid that. So we've built up expertise. We know how to do kids work. We know how to do youth work excellently. So why would we try and build that in each location? We rather we can control it centrally and let it flow in, let the resources flow in. We go in, we know what we're doing, and we can make that happen. Does that make sense? So they're the directors of departments, and we're really excited about that because we think that's key to making sure that Liberty's DNA is replicated across all of the churches that we plant. Aside from that then, number two, we have our ministry development team. Anyone here who's leading a ministry will already have come across these. And what ministry development teams do is they work with ministry leaders across all of the churches, providing them with advice on how to lead ministries, providing them with accountability in terms of setting goals and developing their own leadership skill, developing their team, developing their ministry, providing them, advice, accountability, and assistance in doing all the above. And the real benefit, I love this, I love the whole idea of this team, is that we always said that Liberty would be a place where we want ministries to emerge from the grassroots. So if you have a dream that God puts in your heart, that we can put people alongside you to make that happen. And that's what this ministry development team is. So if you have a dream and you don't even know where to begin with it, you don't know anything about setting up teams, you don't know anything about how the church works, you don't know anything about leadership, well, we can assign you one of these ministries developers who do know all that stuff. And it helps to make your dream become a reality. And it lets us be a church where our ministries emerge when people see God at work, or where God puts something on people's hearts, that we're not stifled, stuff doesn't have to flow down from the top, but that we can just let people alongside you to say, here's how to make it happen, and align all those resources. So that's the ministry development team. The administration team, again, we're keeping that central. They're going to look after everything like our finances, our room book, and our calendar, all that sort of stuff that's really key to making all this happen. Outside of that, it just doesn't work. And again, it takes it off the responsibility of the local guys and lets them focus on what it is that their role is. And the fourth one, which is a new one, is called this social enterprise team, which again is something we're really excited about. And we have a guy called Thomas Daly, who's a consultant to the voluntary sector. And he's come and he's decided to work alongside Liberty. And what he's going to do is help us set up these social enterprises. And social enterprises are basically businesses that provide employment for people, they provide a social benefit, and they generate income for the church. So he's going to come along and he's already almost up and running, working alongside the church here in the city. It's going to be a small business that will provide employment for people from the church. It's going to provide a benefit to our community, and it's going to release money into the church to do what it is that God's called us to do. So they're all the... In a kind of brief kind of nutshell, they're all the roles that we have here. And I know throwing all that information out is a lot of information to process at any one time. So please do come talk to me, talk to any of the other leaders, any of the elders, and we can take you through this step by step. And a lot of this is already in place. You may not know it already, but you'll begin to see the benefits of it. We've already seen the benefits of it as we've rolled it out over the past year or so. So that's it. That's our structure. And we'll hand you back to Noel. And again, come and talk to us if you need any questions or anything. Also, the ushers will, if you make sure you take one of these, the ushers will give one of these to every person as they're leaving. And that explains just what I've said there. So.
Well done, Rob. I don't know about you, but I just think that stuff is genius. And because it's not enough just to have a heart to do something. You have to have a structure to carry the heart. Just like my body has a heart, where it has a structure so that I can function and fulfill the destiny. And so Paul says something like this in Romans. He says, Romans 12, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's good, pleasing and perfect will is." Paul is saying to the body in Rome, but also saying to us, he says, I'm urging you to give your life for this stuff. He's not asking for a weekend. He's asking for your life. To reach a city. These are our brothers and our sisters and our uncles and our aunties and people that we love and people that we see around our city. Even people like my lovely wife here. There's people that we see. This is not about just having a structure so that we can have things formed and people like in hierarchy and stuff. This thing is designed so that the heart that's within and that is beating in this place can actually fulfill what it's called to do. And I'm calling liberty to give your life to this. I don't want your weekend. I don't want your 10%. I want your life, because that's what the scriptures ask. He gave his life for us. And we lay down our lives for the things that's in God's heart. And Paul urges, I'm asking you to invest your life into something that's eternal. All that structure stuff. Do you know what's beauty? The growth in it. You can move. God has you there. You're growing in them. You can move in anywhere into that structure. You can serve anywhere in that place. Invest your life in eternity. Invest your life in the mission of God. Invest your life into the life that God has called you to be. If God has called this place to be your home, if he's established you here, well then give your best to it. Give your all to it. Jesus set down a precedent one time. He says in Acts 1:8, he says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit will come on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. And what he was saying to them, Jerusalem was where they all lived. And he was saying to them, start in Jerusalem. Give your life into Jerusalem, and then they're to move out of there into Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Just like I'm asking you today, I want your energy, your strength, your finances, your heart, your skills, your talents into this house so that you can help reach the city for God in this nation. Amen? So I'm not asking for half of it, because I don't believe that God asks for half of it. I believe God says, give me your all, and I want to tell you, I'll give you my all. I'll give you my all. It starts at home and liberty. It starts here. Nowhere else. Invest your talent here. Invest your gifts here. Your skills here. You looked at those teams and invest your skills in media, in accountancy, in reception work, in graphic design, in music. Invest it here. Invest your talent, everything that you have. Like, what can I do to make the house of God prosper and expand in the city? Give your time. You know, a couple of hours a week into the house, I want to tell you, we'll move the house a lot further than where it's at right now. A couple of hours, you go to Anna or go to one of the elders who I'm going to stand up at the end. You go to one of them and say, look, where can I give my time? They will take your name. They will take your details. Pensioners that is needed to be served. Children in the flats that need to be served. Kids that need to be served in Clondalkin and in Bray. People that need to be served in the business world. People that need to be encouraged in the business. What can I do? And what about our treasure? Do you know what? Sometimes you get gave out about a lot of things. But someone, I wouldn't say they gave out to me, but they said the other night they didn't know what I was going to do. But God doesn't only want their time and their talent. He does want their treasure. Because wherever our treasure is, that's really where our heart is. That's what Jesus said, not me. And someone says to me, Noel, I haven't heard you talk about tithing. Just praise the Lord, I'm going to do a Sunday. And in Malachi 3, it talks about this. And I've always steered a bit clear from this scripture. I use a lot of scripture in the New Testament. But I've re-looked at Malachi, and I've re-looked at what God was saying. And I'll read it into you in a minute. But the context of what was happening when this word was spoken, the people of Israel, God's people, had been experiencing war with the Babylonians. There was captivity, there was calamity. And at this point in the history of Israel, there was a downturn in the economy. Is that familiar? It was a downturn in the economy. And then God speaks to the people. And listen to wait. Now, there's some translations that really, really put this in your face. But it's not me speaking, it's God speaking. And listen to what God said to the people at that time. They were in war. Babylonians were coming in. They were getting taken captive. And there was a downturn in the economy, because there always is when there's a war. And God says, Malachi 3, verse 8, 12. Should the people cheat God? Is a question God asked. He says, you have cheated me, he says to the people. Another translation says, you have robbed me. But you ask, what do you mean? When did we ever cheat you, God? And then God gives the reply. You cheated me of the tithes and the offerings due to me. He says, as a result, you're under a curse. For you and the whole nation have been cheating me. And then he says, now here's the answer. Bring the tithes into the storehouse so that there will be enough food in my temple. If you do so, the Lord says, I will open the windows of heaven I will pour out blessings so great you won't have enough room to take it. Try it. Put me to the test, he says. Your crops will be abundant, for I will guard them from insect and disease. Your grapes will not fall from the vine before they are ripe, says the Lord. Then all nations will call you blessed, for your land will be such a delight, says the Lord. The Lord says, there's stuff going on. There's things that you're not experiencing. There's blessings that's not flowing. There's a grace that is being blocked. And he says, I'll tell you why. He says, you've been holding back on me, says God. You've been, in fact, cheating me. You've been robbing me, another translation says. And he says, now I want you to put it right for you. I want you to tell you how to do this. You might say, what's a tithe? The Bible says a tithe is 10% of what we do, what we earn. He says, take that tithe, make me number one, and put that into the house of God. Now, it's not said about putting it into any other place other than the house of God, where the priests are, where the word was being preached, where the sacrifice was being preached. He didn't say give it to some offshoot ministry. He says you bring it into the house. And I want to tell you, no offshoot ministry is going to bury you when you die. We'll be calling on these leaders. And they're not going to go to the hospital to pray with your kids. And they're not going to cry with you and stand with you and go to hospitals and try to raise your kids from the dead. But people in the house will. And God says, don't do that. I want you to bring it into the place. And then here's his promise. And listen to what God was saying. God doesn't need their money. God doesn't need anything from you. He's God's. And I was like, Robin, why did you say Robin? We're robbing God of the opportunity to bless. He doesn't need anything. What are we robbing you? What are we cheating you out of? You're cheating me out of what I want to give into the church, what I want to give into your life, what I want to give into your family. He was like, don't rob me of that. That's what he loves to do. But he's setting a principle. And this stuff keeps us. I'm reading this stuff and I'm like, man, God. First of all, when I put my treasure in, I'm saying, God, you're number one. I was with a family the other night, and they were saying this to me. So they opened the drawer and they took out that little brown envelope down there. And the toys were in it. And he says to me, that's my number one priority. Now, David, they're in a downturn like you and me. He said, that's my number one. Tithes allows us to say, God, you're number one. Tithes allows us to provide for the work of the Lord. Tithes allows us to prove the faithfulness of God. God says, there's nowhere in the Bible God says, test me other than this. He said, you test me. I'll prove myself to you in this. Moses says, don't put the Lord thy God to the test. And God says, no, you can test me in this one. It's an opportunity to honor God. It's an opportunity to say, God, you are the resource of all that I have. It's an opportunity to build faith. I tell you something, like stuff like this, and I'm not saying this to get it off. You look at it, you either obey God or you disobey God. That's the bottom line. So it's nothing to do with me. So I'm not saying this to get out and nail you, right? Because if you think I'm like that, you don't know who I am. A man walked up to me and says to me, Sharon, what do you need? I was trying to tell him to put a load of money into Clondalkin. I knew he wanted to give money. I knew he had money to give me. And I was like, the cafe in Clondalkin. I was just telling him about the kids and all this stuff. And he shut me down. I only met him a half an hour prior to that. I'd never met him before in my life. I prayed I'd meet him again. But he says to Sharon, he says to me and Sharon, I'm only a half an hour with him. I was like, Sharon will tell you, I was pushing this hard because in the end I was going to say, will you give me money to do this? I know you have money to give me. And he shut me down. He says, what do you need? It's very rarely that gets said to you, I must be honest. And if you want to say that to me, I don't mind talking to you. My car blew up a year prior to that. He says, I need a car and hand me 10 grand. Go on and get yourself a car. That's why I said, I hope I meet him again. So you know what happened? God opened the window. And I realize that this stuff that God says is a key to locking the windows or opening the windows. And he says, I'm going to give you the key. It's tithing. And if tithing in the Bible is 10%, and he says, bring it into the house, bring it into the church. He says, I will open the windows of heaven. I will open. I want to tell you, that's not for me. I don't see the money in this church. I don't touch the money in this church. We've too many good securities in our church. No temptation. It's for a city. And so that we can expand, that we don't want people coming to work for us and have holes in their shoes. And we want to be able to pay our workers. We want to be able to pay our local pastors. We don't want them out there worrying about where their kids are going to get money if they're only working for you and I. And we want to be able to put it in. And God says, bring it in. He says, you will always have bread to eat and you'll always have seed to sow. That's what Paul says. So I'm calling you liberty. Step up to the mark like I know you always do. Before God. And say, here we go, Lord. I'm trusting you and putting my faith in you, Lord. I know you will meet all my needs. I know you will meet all my needs. I believe and I know where I'm supposed to put this stuff. And amen. Say amen. Amen. And here's some things the Lord put in my heart. And it's like just pulling things into order for liberty. This is what this is about. Why do you keep whistling to me for? Hold the mic. Sorry. You can't hear it on the podcast. Sorry. And here's the challenge we're always laid with when God is expanding. This is all through the history books. The Bible says that we're living stones. And that we're being built up into a spiritual house where the glory of God can dwell and be seen. And when every change comes, there's always upset in the camp. It's always, okay, that's part of growing up. Well, you know I didn't grow very tall. But when I actually was growing as a little fella, I'd awful pains in my legs and all that stuff. And for all that amount of pain, I thought I was going to be about 7 foot tall. But the reality is, I'm like, this is all I get for all of that? But it's always a bit of uneasy. But here's the challenge. You can either be a living stone or a stumbling block. A living stone will build up what God is doing. A stumbling block will hinder what God is doing. And we have an opportunity to inspire, or the enemy will give us opportunities to conspire. Inspire, Phil was telling me, him and Jenny was up in Ballina last weekend, and the pastor, they just went to visit church, and the pastor like landed it on them like pastors do, and said, will you share something? And Phil was telling me, he was sharing about the treasure exchange. Oh yes, treasure exchange. I meant to mention that earlier on. Treasure exchange and what they do on the street and see on the street. He was telling them about Bob, and he was telling them about Celebrate, and he was telling them about, and the words that struck me, because Phil has it. He was like, and we're in Bray, and we're in Clondalkin, and we're in the city. And he was thinking expansive wise. And what did he do? Inspire that pastor. Inspire that congregation. And we have an opportunity to inspire, or the enemy will give us opportunities to conspire. How do we conspire? What does conspire mean? That we get into cahoots with people that have another agenda other than the agenda of what God has placed in this church. And they start conspiring. And I'm not saying they even know what they're doing. But don't become part of it. The Bible speaks about gossip, and I'll tell you why. It's a fire. And it's a conspiracy. And the only one that doesn't want to see this church reach its potential, you tell me who it is. Name him. Shame him. So if there's anyone pulling down, I want to tell you, they're not in cahoots with heaven. They're in cahoots with hell. Whether they know it or not, because the only one that wants to pull you down or me down from reaching a city is an enemy. And it hurts. And it hurts people. Conspiracy always. You never hear someone saying, we conspire together to reach a nation. No. It's always used in the negative. It's always used to pull things down. Give us the umbrella for a minute, Cher. Forgive me, that's Paddy Powers. I used to work in the bookies. It wasn't Paddy Power, but... Cher, will you stand up here beside me? No, I want you up, Sharon. You hold this. Here's what the boy... Now, hold her up, Sharon. All the years of tormenting. Now you go. But this is what happens. It's very, very important. And I know it looks a bit like... But it's very, very serious. That God placed leaders in the church for a reason. And the reason is to give covering and to give direction. And contrary to what hell might think or other people, God has placed this little fella in charge of this. And my life represents a covering. And Jesus represents a covering. The angels represent the covering. And I represent the covering. And what does a covering do when it's raining? It keeps you dry. When there's hailstones, it doesn't get through. When there's wind, you block her off. Hold her up. Don't mess. I don't want another mess out of you. It provides. And listen to what Paul says, or Peter says. The elders which are among you, I exhort you, who I am also an elder, he says, feed the flock of God who is among you, taking good care of them, providing oversight. Listen to what Acts says. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock, speaking to elders, of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church, which he bought with his own blood. Covering. That's why gossip and conspiracy is not right. You're hindering the covering. You pull down someone else, and you're hindering the covering. And this is what happens. Be careful. Hold it. This is what happens. We hurt covering. We put holes in it.
Amen.
My goodness, I know this sounds heavy and all. I'm putting it into order. I'm putting the house in order. I'm not saying you cannot say it, and we have leadership that every single person can talk to. But I want to tell you something. Always cry up. Always cry up. Don't cry across, because that person beside you doesn't need your stuff. Doesn't need your bitterness. Doesn't need your disappointment. You don't need it. It's not fair. It's like giving your sister the measles. Or worse, it's not fair. And never cry down. Never cry on anyone that's below you. Always cry up. Cry up. If you don't understand, cry up to the leader. You know what we're going to say in the end when we finish all the talking? It's about a city. It's about brothers and sisters. It's about Irish people and people that have come from other lands to our nation. That's what it's about. That's the heartbeat that is in us. Always cry up. Don't judge others. Don't do that. Don't listen to anyone that does that. God is the judge. And it's Jesus' house. And it's his bride. And don't mess with his missus. You're not just somebody sitting there. You belong to Jesus. You're not just pulling Noel down. I belong to Jesus. You're not just pulling Mary down. She belongs to Jesus. Don't mess with his bride. Because he doesn't take it too kindly, believe me. And he'll give grace and give grace. Then he'll give you a clatter. In the nicest possible way. So invest your life. Invest your talents. Invest your treasures. Inspire. Don't let anyone bring you into a conspiracy. You need to talk up. I'm giving you every space. And finally, I'm giving you an invitation. An invitation to win a city with us. An invitation to go, God wants to use me to touch a city. In Revelations, it talks about the kings and all the glory of nations coming before Jesus. That's the victory that he won it all. Noah, we're going to be there. We're going to see the Irish contingent walking up. All before Jesus, where all of our voices And all of our talents and skills and abilities and our dancing and our singing. And we're going to bring all of our treasures. And we're going to be walking before him. Like, do you ever see like Caesar? That's the picture. When they come home from after conquering the nation. And he'd bring all the chariots and all the treasures and all the golds and all the glory. And all the prisoners even was brought. The princes of the other were all brought before them. The princes was the glory and the king was the glory of the nation. And in Revelations there's a picture that the nations, they all walked. And Jesus is sitting there on his throne, and they're walking down nation after nation. And let it be said of us in Liberty that we reached out so that the glory of our nation, the glory of our city, is walking before him saying, Jesus, I didn't have much, but I gave it all. Jesus, I was a one-trick pony, but I gave my trick to you, Jesus. And that, Lord, I didn't conspire that. I've always tried to be someone that would inspire someone else to reach the goal, to go for the prize, which is Christ Jesus. I invite you to win a city. I invite you to reach out. I invite you to come undercover so that you can move freely in a protected zone, in a place where you can flourish in your ministry. I invite you to be raised up in God. No more sitting on the fence for anyone. Here's your invitation. Get off the fence, you jabroni. No more low living, no more low sight, no more black and white living. It's 3D. It's full of color, high definition. I'm giving it all, Jesus. I invite you to play your part in the mission of Jesus. I invite you to be a giver. I invite you to be someone who inspires. I want the elders to come up. I know we're a bit over time. And will you take those little lights with you, Patrice? Oh, sorry. Another thing that we've done in expansion, and we're going to be sending this person out of Liberty. We've also made Rob the local pastor in Bray. And we've given one of our best, the city expansion of Bray. You can give them a cross, Rob, share them out. We've also expanded our eldership in this city here. And Rob going to Bray, if you listen to Rob about Bray, I want to tell you, half that section will probably be gone with him. So we don't let him talk about it. I want to say we honor Patrice in letting Rob do that. This is people who are investing their lives at such a level. But the invitation is that we all do it. The invitation is that we all stand up and be counted. The invitation is that we all have the heartbeat of God beating in us. We're taking a city. We're taking a city. And that when it gets down and it gets rough and it gets bumpy roads, that we remember the prize. We remember the prize as people. We remember the prize that Jesus gave his life for these people in our city, and I want to be part of winning them. And I want us to stand up. And these little lights, break them all and they all light up, don't they? Keep breaking them. Is Matthew Sweeney here? Matthew, will you get up and play something on the guitar? I know it's putting you on the spot. Praise the Lord. Yeah. No. This is what I'm going to give an altar call for. I want you to come up and take a light. And you're saying, I'm going to be part of the army that reaches the city. It's a faith step. It's a signing up step. I'm going to be an inspirer. I'm going to be a giver. I'm going to take the invitation to reach the city, to reach people. And Father, we just come before you as a people. And we just thank you for the privilege of serving the living God. Father, we just thank you, Lord God, for being that we are the people of God. And you said that you're the light of the world. And I want the elders, I want to just send the elders amongst us. And to give out these lights. If you put your hand up, they will be to you. If you're visiting with us, praise the Lord. If you're sitting on the fence, get off. It's just like, Lord, I'm this little light represents, I want to give my all for this. And if you've been caught up in if you've been caught up in cheating God out of blessing you, just say you're sorry to him. There's no condemnation in this. If you've been caught up in gossip, just tell him you're sorry. It doesn't matter even if that gossip person was your best friend. Listen, negativity and gossip with your best friend or not is negativity and gossip. Doesn't matter who it's with. But put it right, don't stop that flow, as Mark was saying. Just don't let anything to be in your way. If you're living in sin, if you're in sin, put it right before God so there's no block. There's no block between you and God right now. This is a moment in God. If there's not enough light, share it with somebody because we're in this all together anyway. The Bible says that the earth sings to God. Do you believe that the earth sings to God, the psalmist says? And I want them to hear the song of liberty. I want them to hear their song. I want heaven to recognize us this day. That we're signing up to the mission. And we're not going to give you half of our lives, Jesus. We're going to give you all of our lives. And here's the beauty. When you give him all your life, you really find your life. When you give it away, you gain more than you could ever imagine or think. So Lord, here's liberty. Lift up your light. Here we are, Lord God. Before a mighty King. A holy God. And we're saying, Jesus, we're signing up. Now we believe we can do this, Lord. We believe, Father God, that you've called us for such a time as this. Father, that there's no other time in history I'd rather be living in than right now, Father. This is the era, Lord, of the church. This is the era, Lord God, of the pouring out of your Holy Spirit, Lord God. And I pray and release, Father, an outpouring, Lord, a download into our lives today, Father God. You haven't asked us to win this city without empowering us to do it, Lord. And I'll just release, Father. I release, Lord God, the people of God. To be the people of God in the workplace, in the home place, in the streets, on the buses, in the cars. And we will bring our glory, Father God, before the living King. Amen, Lord. Let's sing this song. Let's just heaven hear us. If the earth sings, if the earth sings, what is he going to hear from liberty? If the earth is singing, what's God going to hear coming from this place? We love you, Lord. We bless you, O God. Father, we say, Lord, we love you. We say, Father, forgive us. We say, Father, open the windows. Pour out, Lord God, your Spirit, Lord, upon us, your blessing, O God. We open our lives, Father, individually and corporately, Lord God. We say, bless Bray, Father God. Father God, 31,000 people, give us them, Father God. Father, we say, bless Father Clondalkin. 78,000 people, oh God. We say, give us them, Father God. Father, we want them. We want to love them. We want to give them of our gifts and our talents, Father. Father, this immediate area, Lord God. Just immediate area. 40,000 people, Father. Your heart, Lord. Your heart, Lord. Your heartbeat, Lord God. Let us hear your heartbeat this morning, Father God. New ministries to be started, Lord. New ministries to be birthed in this place, O God. New ministries to be birthed, Lord God. Father, within the house of liberty here in the city, Lord God. New ministries in Clondalkin. New ministries in Bray, Father God. We bless you.